Hey everyone, Chef Felicia here, and I am sending out a call for everyone who is listening that you share this podcast with everyone that you know. I am doing some research on how food plays a role in systemic oppression. And of course, you guys already know that, and I'm doing it in regards to schools, but now I want to expand my research into the prison system. So, if you know anyone who has been incarcerated in prison and they want to share their story about the food, the impact the food had on their lives, and what that looked like, send them my way. Please, please, please send them my way. And the reason why I'm doing this is because, number one, I fully believe that those of you who have been following me know why this is a serious matter and why it connects and why these stories need to be told. It's very similar to the school to prison pipeline, and I am already doing work as it relates to the school and what impact that has on the children and the families, but I'd like to see what that looks like on the back end into the actual prison system. Because what we know is this: we do know that nourishment comes in the form of food. Nourishment, health, wellness starts with what is put into our bodies. It starts in utero. It starts with what our mothers eat. It starts with what we eat after we are born, and then so on and so forth. If prison is really designed to be a place of punishment for an offense, and that is your punishment, being removed from society is your punishment, then how does food play a role in that? And how does access to food that nourishes the body, mind, and spirit relate to that? How does it relate to those who have spiritual practices that they should avoid certain types of food or eat certain types of food? All of these things are discussions to be had, because if we really are truthful about the recidivism rates and about rehabilitating the mind, body, and spirit of those of us who have gone into the system, then we need to understand and explore the wellness side of it and what that actually looks like. I have some theories. I have some things that are in my mind as far as what I have heard in passing and seen in media, but what I really want is the actual stories from those who have experienced that, so that we understand them, we hear their voices. I don't want to center myself in what I think is the results of that time spent. But what I do want to do is bring awareness to people who are often overlooked, and bring awareness to people who folks tend to throw away. They think once you have done something, you get locked up, that you don't deserve anything else in life that is good. You don't deserve to be considered a whole, full, well person. And we know in the Black and Brown community, if we are being incarcerated and given harsher sentences for lesser charges and targeted at an unrealistic rate because of our skin, then we can ascertain that what happens when we get inside is more of the same. And we can't just throw away people who have gotten put away for very long periods of time for very small offenses, or just when they didn't do it at all. You know, we do know that there are mistakes that are being made in the so-called justice system where folks are being locked up for crimes they didn't commit. So what happens to the morale? What happens to the spirit? What happens to the mind? And what happens to the bodies of those individuals who are already 2 to 4 times higher for rates of heart disease, hypertension, type 2 diabetes, and cancer? What do those rates look like when they come out and have to battle the world, regain their lives, and hope for a better future if the food that they had been given while they were locked up didn't support those efforts. What does that look like? And then what does it look like in the systems, in the places where there are programs where inmates are allowed to garden and do mindful practices like yoga and actually have decent healthcare options given to them, as well as food that nourishes the mind and body? There are places like that. So I want to take a look at those things. I want to explore those things, and I want to talk about how it affects generation after generation. So if you know someone who, if you are that person, or if you know someone who is willing to be a guest on the podcast, or just talk to me, and maybe they don't want to be a guest, maybe they don't want to put their name out there, but they are willing to talk and share their story, and they want to let it be known what their experience was like, send them my way, because I really, really do care about this subject. And like I said, I've been doing work on one end of the spectrum, as far as, you know, I talk a lot about food being the beginning, one of the beginning sources of the school to prison pipeline. And I work with the schools. I work with children. And I want to expand that thought process into, this is what's happening now, the transformative work that is happening right now to change the hearts and minds and spirits, the systems with the children. What happens when we look at that on the other end and say, okay, let's say someone slipped through the cracks and they are incarcerated. What can be done to help remedy that situation, to help fix that? Because it's a real need, it's a real situation, it is something that we can't sweep under the rug anymore, and we need to understand that no one's coming to save us. I keep saying this, and I want to continue to say it until everybody understands we have to save ourselves. And it starts with what? It starts with our stories being told, awareness being brought out, and it starts with activism and mentoring in the community. So if we start right at the bottom with ourselves, and we start to share these things, and we start to dismantle the guilt, the shame, and everything else that comes with these subjects, because it's hard. It's hard to discuss. I watched a movie last night with my daughter that really brought this whole thing on. And it's Waves. It's on YouTube. It's on several platforms. And the story of a young man who was on the fast track to becoming a pro wrestler. Not WWE wrestler, like real wrestling. but, you know, he was an athlete, coming from a family of athletes. His father was an athlete. He had an injury, a pretty severe injury that he was trying to work through. And if you have ever had an injury that is debilitating in the sense that it can cripple you, you know where this is going. As a person who has had knee injuries and I need to stand for work as a chef, it hit home. It touched me, because when your injury is such that it puts you in a space to where you find out that your hopes and dreams have now been derailed and changed and all these other things, what do you do? That's where this story goes. And this is a young man, 18 years old, who is grappling with this. And as a result, he makes some choices that some may not understand, but I did. He made some choices that led to him doing one thing unintentionally, that sent his life into a different place. Now, what do we do in situations like this? I want you to watch this movie, and I want you to understand that the mindset of what this movie did, it hit hard for me last night. It did. And it made me think about how you can come from one place and one thing can change so many other things in your life and the life of those around you. And it's really deep. It really is. But in terms of food, in terms of nourishment, in terms of coping and wellness and all those things. You'll see if you watch the movie at the end why I went this route as far as thinking about food in prison. Because there was a scene that just made me go, you know, if things, wow, okay. Anyway, I digress. just definitely reach out if it's something that you're comfortable with talking about. If you want to just send me an email at chefleisha@gmail.com, you can do that too. I want to collect the stories so that the stories can be told. I want to collect the stories so that I can understand what type of work I can do, what I should do, how it should happen, and not center myself or any other organization. Like, what is, from your perspective of the incarcerated, formerly incarcerated, what is the key? What's the key? And how do you move forward? How do we move forward? How do we reclaim our Black and brown bodies who have, our people, our men and women who have returned from that space, who have had to spend that time in that space? What does it look like to help encourage and bring them through so that they feel like they are equipped with what they need? Because the world is already tough, and that little box on those job applications, yeah, that ruins a lot, right? It definitely changes the lives of so many. And what happens when you are constantly kicked because of that box and you don't know how to feed yourself, or you can't because you don't have the money to, you know, it's a whole issue. Anyway, that's just my thought for today. I thank you for listening. I appreciate you. Share this with everybody, please, and have them reach out to me, Chef Leisha, on all platforms. I am here for you. I want to hear your stories. I want to learn how we can put on our own capes and our gloves and our boots and help each other in the way that we can, because we can't continue to look for a system to be different. The system was created to do what it is doing. I have said that many times. It's not broken. It's doing what it's supposed to do. We're the ones who have to understand how to maneuver around that. So we are going to do our best. Thank you so much for always listening and staying positive and staying clear with me and just rocking with me. I appreciate you all. If you're interested in any of my other work, go ahead and go to chefleisha.com, where you will find I have a spice line, Oakland Girl Spice Line, and then some merchandise as well for sale. You can buy some spices, you can buy some merch, and just support this Oakland girl. All right, until next time, this has been A Mindful Chef. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you soon. Bye.